Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And happy Thursday, everybody. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. They go over every inch of the vehicle. That's why that guarantee means so much. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Bob Pockrass today. We're going to talk about the Daytona 500, where the goal is to be the first one to make 800 successful left turns faster than anybody else. Do I have the concept wrong, or no?
That seems right.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. That's just me. But it's a new season, and in the new season, we'll see how she goes. So we'll talk to him about that. We're going to do that, what, 1:15?
Yep, 1:15.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get a hold of the king to see if the king can do the last half hour today. Yeah, well, who knows? I mean, for all we know, some last second job came in we don't know about. I'm trying to see if we can get him. A couple other people I'm going to try and get on the show. It has been a while since we've had Tony Knopp on, so we got to get him back on, which I'll take care of. That's on me, not you, Todd. And then the other one, and this one's on me too, I think we ought to get Jack Michaels on the show as the play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Oilers, because they've been playing great, and we should hear from the guy that has the privilege of announcing Connor McDavid all the time. I think that would be cool.
I was going to say, hockey doesn't penetrate my mind a lot, but I did. Didn't he have 6 assists in a game the other day?
Yeah, and they won 16 games in a row at one point.
Well, I was going to say, I've never been much of a hockey fan, but he is one of the guys that I have heard of.
Oh, I mean, this is one of the things. This is a story that Dick Girardi and I tell all the time. We had a big snowstorm here. Dick needed a rent-a-car. So he gets a hold of me and he says, hey, you know, and it's snowing. And it was 2014. It was the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi. And he says, hey, I need to go over to Enterprise to get a car. I said, okay. I said, no problem. I said, so I pick him up at the hotel. And so we're basically just, you know, we're not going fast. And we're making our way over. And we're listening to the Russia-USA game in overtime, in a shootout. And the shootout rules are different in the Olympics. You can pick one guy in the shootout. You don't have to rotate guys. So TJ Oshie goes out, gets it, scores. So then, you know, then the Russians score, and then now it's the United States' turn, and Dick says, Patrick Kane. I said, they pick Oshie. Oshie goes, scores again. Next time the Americans are up, Dick says, Patrick Kane. Oshie, they pick him again. He goes, he scores again. Third time up, Patrick Kane. I looked over. He says, why Patrick Kane? He goes, he's the only guy I know. I always thought that was weird. You know, he and I have had a lot of laughs over the years, believe me. All right, so we'll talk to Bob in a moment. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All All right, welcome back. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way, whether it's routine maintenance or whether it's something that's far more difficult. They can handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I'm very pleased to be joined by Bob Pockris as we talk about NASCAR getting back into high gear with the Daytona 500. Bob, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
It's great to be here. Looking forward to a great weekend with the Daytona 500 on Fox on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it should be terrific, obviously. Now, when you get to the start of a new season, vehicles, rules, things like that, does that make for a little bit of mystery even on your part as much as you know about the sport because it is the first real time out?
Absolutely. Not just because they haven't been raced in a few months except for a little bit at the Clash, but you talk about drivers working with new crew chiefs, drivers working with new spotters, the people who stand on the roof of the suites helping guide them through the race. You know, that type of chemistry between a driver and a spotter often takes time, and many of them have new ones for this race on Sunday. Then many of the cars have changed a little bit of the design of the nose of their car, and so they don't know exactly how it's going to race. They might learn a little in the duels tonight, but really they're going to do most of their learning during the first 175 laps of the Daytona 500 and hope to put what they learned into practice for those last 25 laps.
You've got with Joe Logano and McDowell, they're in the front row for the 500. Now, it's qualifying, but what did you see from their cars and also how they handled the qualifying part?
I saw their cars being fast and maybe a little bit of a surprise because Hendrick-powered engines and Chevrolets have won the last 9 poles for the Daytona 500, but they certainly look good. They, even though they run for 2 different teams, those teams have an alliance, and it looks like they found something to be good when they're out there by themselves, but they really won't know how strong their cars are until tonight at the duels when they're racing in a pack.
How interested are you in the marriage between crew chief and driver of the new ones? Which ones, like, do you want to see if they click right away or not?
I think the most intriguing one is Josh Berry, a rookie who replaced Kevin Harvick, working with a veteran crew chief in Rodney Childers, who was Harvick's crew chief, who has won many, many, many races. Childers known as one of the smartest crew chiefs in the garage, and he was a former driver himself, a former short track driver, which is the roots for his new driver, Josh Berry. So really interested to see how they work together. There's a lot of hope that kind of their common roots will pay dividends right away.
Was there a breakup in the off season that surprised you?
not too much. I think the biggest break that surprised us in the off season, but was announced way before, is the fact that Jimmy Johnson's Legacy Motor Club moved from Chevrolet to Toyota. And Jimmy Johnson won all his races in a Chevrolet, and now he'll be out there in these duels tonight in a Toyota trying to make the Daytona 500. So to see that organization with drivers Eric Jones, John Hunter Nemechek, and Johnson driving a part-time schedule in Toyotas is still a little bit different, still a little bit weird to see.
Give us an idea on any subtle changes that have been made to the cars or rules that they have to follow this time that maybe they didn't have to follow a year ago.
Yeah, the Fords and Toyotas both have new noses. And you say, well, what's the big deal about, you know, a little change to the nose of the car? But in Daytona, being fast is being able to push the car in front of you, or if you're out front, to get a push from the car behind you. And it's important to get the best push. You need to have these noses and bumpers line up well. And the changes to the Fords look like maybe they don't line up as well in hopes of running better at other tracks, but maybe not to be as good at Daytona. So I think that's what everybody will be looking for tonight.
All right. I want to talk about the track itself. You know, every track has its own personality. What's always been the personality, in your opinion, of the Daytona International Raceway?
Fast and dangerous. That's Daytona. They run in packs because they have to slow the cars down, because they drove on this 36 degree banking with the engines at full horsepower. They just fly right off of it. So they run in packs. When one car gets loose, you can have big wrecks. There's not a lot of time for drivers to react. And the best way to stay out front is to block the driver behind you and block the driver who's trying to make a move to the outside of you. And every time you make that move, you're making it by inches as far as trying to avoid or causing a wreck. So that to me, this is one of those races where you watch and it is exciting to watch, but there is a pit in your stomach the entire time that there could be a big crash at any moment.
In the days of Richard Petty, Cale Yarborough, David Pearson, you know, the Allisons and so forth, you ran 500 miles. Now they do the race in stages. They've done this for a few years now, and you've watched it for a few years. Do you like it, or would you rather see them just go 500 miles?
I personally, NASCAR awards points at the end of the stages, so it creates drama throughout the race. It gives the drivers something to race for in the first third of a race, in the second third of a race, and it never appears that they're just logging laps, because there's always something on the line. Some people don't like the fact that the caution comes out, but it's certainly at the end of the stage, but it certainly gives time for broadcast partners that air commercials that they know are going to be under yellow. And you know, I'd like to be able to go get a snack or use the restroom. it provides that, too.
What have the fans, though, told you? Because in the end, this is done for the fans. Do they like it?
I think some like it. Certainly, you have traditionalists who feel that it is, you know, manufactured drama. But, again, I think it's not traditional. It's something that, you know, if you've been watching races for 20 years, it's, you know, almost blasphemous. But, you know, if you're a fan who likes this, you know, the frustrating part about a 500-mile race is sometimes that can be a 500-mile race, and it takes a while for you to feel like that there's something on the line. And this does provide that, you know, it provides that drama and that urgency earlier in a race than before.
Okay, so now this is, you know, NASCAR starts with the Super Bowl and then works its way through the season. Give me like three or four drivers you're really interested to see how their season long-term plays out.
Well, I think first you look at Chase Elliott, sports most popular driver. Yep. Missed seven races last year, six because of a broken leg and one because of a suspension. Didn't make the playoffs. Will this be the year that he rebounds and wins again? I think a lot of people think so, but all eyes, I feel, are on Chase Elliott. I think you look at Ross Chastain and his growth as a driver. Will he continue to have no friends and just push the issue and push the issue and push the issue? Or will he pick and choose his battles maybe a little bit more? And then the other driver I'm looking at is Bubba Wallace. Strong top 10 in points last year, but still kind of seeks some more consistency when it comes to running up front and winning.
Give me an under-the-radar driver, in your opinion, that maybe a lot of people don't know a lot about, but could start to make an impact this season.
That's a great question, and I would you know, I think the driver that you would think maybe for that one would be Chase Briscoe. And Stuart Haas, he's the only driver now at Stuart Haas Racing with a cup win. He has one. That's their total among their four drivers now that Kevin Harvick has retired and Eric Almirola has gotten to a part-time Xfinity schedule. He is kind of a leader at Stuart Haas Racing. They're a team that's coming off not a very good year. And Chase Briscoe has always been one that you felt like has had potential and maybe just needed those few years before he could really know exactly what he wants in this car. But he's got to show it this year, and I think a lot of people will be interested to see if some of his get more of that potential actually results in finishes in the top 10.
Let me give you an interesting one, I think, and that's about Joe Gibbs and Joe Gibbs Racing. We all know the tremendous success he had in winning three Super Bowls with Washington. And then they transition into this. What has made him successful at this level in a sport where nobody would have assumed that 30 years ago when he was a head football coach?
Well, Joe Gibbs is successful because he's Joe Gibbs. And what I mean by that is, first off, he can get sponsors because not too many team owners can go to a meeting to close a deal with a sponsor and say, hey, do you want to hold up? You want to put on my Super Bowl ring and see what it feels like and looks like? You know, that can seal a deal. And, you know, what made him a great coach is the same thing that makes him a great owner, in the sense of he knows how to deal with people. He knows that he has incredible ability to understand the balance between letting his drivers be themselves and knowing when you've got to call the driver into the office and say, hey, you know, let's do it this way, or let's try it this way, or we really need to do this. And so he has that great relationship with his drivers and his crew that he knows when he needs to show his leadership and when to let them be them.
And I think Sheldon Creed's going to be one of his drivers this year, right?
Yep, he's going to be one of those in the Xfinity Series.
Yep, sounds great. Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it. By the way, your pick to win is?
Denny Hamlin.
That's a solid one. Appreciate it, Bob.
I think he's going to win number four.
Yep, that's right. Thanks, Bob. Bob Pockrass joining us. Daytona 500 coming up. That time of the year. Super Bowl's over. Time to race. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, welcome back to the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Hyundai, and Kia in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, and Hummel's Wharf. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio today. We just heard from Bob Pockrass from Fox NASCAR on the Daytona 500, and a little bit of a season preview for NASCAR this year. Daytona 500, I believe, is 2:30 on Sunday on Fox. Make sure you check that out if you're into NASCAR, of course. What's going on today? Heartland Athletic Conference girls basketball final is set. That'll be Hughesville and Loyal Sock tomorrow. Boys semifinals tonight. First game is Shamokin and Danville. Second game is Loyal Sock and Sealands Grove. Both those games should be fun ones. Going to be interesting to see who ends up in that final tomorrow. I will be there for the newspaper today and tomorrow. It should be a fun one. I've been looking forward to it all week. Haven't been with the snow and everything. Haven't been out much this week, so get a chance to catch some basketball over at Shikellamy High School with the Heartland Athletic Conference.
All right. Well, the suit was probably first of all, yeah. I mean, suit's got Shikellamy basketball in the mind right now. I understand that, but it had to be a disappointing interview for him. That we just had with Bob, because it wasn't about IndyCar. He's just a one-track mind.
I was going to say, everything I know about IndyCar is whatever I run in the paper, so...
You're like most Americans.
Yes. And the Indy 500.
You're like most Americans.
You're probably not wrong.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. That'll be the big event this weekend. And again, people will ask, what is the key to winning a race like that on an oval? And it's very simple. The first guy to make 800 successful left turns wins!
Yeah, and...
That's not true.
Oh, he's like,
that's not true. You're being mean.
Yeah. It's one of those things that's a race that's either really boring or really exciting, and you really don't know how it's going to go until you see it, just because of the way they draft, and there's either lots of crashes or it's just going in a circle constantly for 2 hours straight.
Well, and that's the part that's... It seems like they'll just get started on something, and then there will be an incident, because there's so much traffic out there. That's why... You know, you'll see qualifying. I mentioned Joey Logano's on the pole. Well, that's great, Joey Logano's on the pole. But what happens when you win the pole? There's nobody out there.
Yeah.
it's just you. So it's just all about speed at that point. But different story, different time. So let's get to... the NBA for a moment. The NBA, which has usually been ahead of the pack when it comes to what they want to do, now has this situation with Las Vegas. I never would have thought, never, that the NBA would be the last to get into Las Vegas. I thought they'd be the first. And you're looking at, the first was the Golden Knights. So the NHL beat them. So the NHL goes out. And this, again, I give Gary Bettman a lot of credit. Through all the turbulent water during the course of his career, lockouts and the like, they've really come on now as an organization in the last 10 years. Who got into Las Vegas first? The NHL or the NBA? The NHL did. All right. Who got into Seattle? The NHL, or did the NBA return to Seattle? Nope, it was the NHL. They're the ones that have been making all the inroads. Major League Baseball is going to get there before the NBA. The NFL's already there now and just had the Super Bowl there. And what really strikes me about the NBA is I don't get why they're last on this. And Adam Silver's done a great job over the years. I mean, he really has. I mean, I give him a lot of credit. He's done some really good things. But, you know, this going last part when it comes to, you know, making moves in the organization, You know, they're stuck. They've tried to stabilize 30 teams. That part I do get. But I thought they'd be the first ones to go in there. I mean, the first ones to go in. And they are not. I mean, they're going to be the last ones to get in there. And then who knows what else they want to do with expansion. Do you want to go back to Seattle? Do you want to go to Louisville? Where do you want to go with it? Do you want to go back into Canada? You can do that. But I always find the expansion part fascinating. That's why I asked Tim Kurchin about that. Las Vegas, the A's are sort of settled, but only sort of. Okay. The Rays are sort of settled, but only sort of. And those are the two sports you would expect to expand, because 32 is kind of a magic number. But I don't know. I always find expansion fascinating, and I thought for sure that that expansion would be one of the keys coming out of the pandemic. Why? Because I felt coming out of the pandemic, everybody needed quick cash, and we haven't seen any expansion since the pandemic. Now, I'm not saying the NFL was going to, and I really didn't think going into this, I really didn't think that the NHL was going to expand, because they were at 32. But baseball and the NBA, I thought for sure that they would have announced some sort of expansion by now. Now, I understand where baseball's coming from when it comes to Tampa Bay and to the A's. Because, and this is what I mentioned to Tim, is that do you want to announce that you're expanding someplace and you're now taking off the board a potential place for somebody to move to? And I think that's going to be a big part of this. Because you want... It's one thing that the NFL did for years with Los Angeles. Never put a team, never put a team, never put a team. How many stadiums were built? How many stadiums were built after the chip was put on the table? We might go to Los Angeles.
A lot.
Yep, exactly. A lot of state. Indianapolis, Minneapolis. I mean, you start going through the list like, holy mackerel. I mean, they played that chip over and over again, and now they've got two teams. Okay.
And a big, shiny stadium there, too.
Well, you know what? Yeah, they sure do. I mean, that's an interesting place. I've seen it. Okay? And it's interesting. It's open air, just covered. In other words, it's open. I mean, you know. But it's covered all the way around. It's very unusual. But that stadium cost, jeez, how much did SoFi Stadium cost? Let's see here. It's a number, I know that. I mean,
is it more than a billion?
Oh, it's definitely, oh my goodness, yes. Oh, no, it's a question of whether it's over 2 billion.
Yeah, well.
Let's see. SoFi Stadium, LA. Hey, you can get tickets to events. That is great. All right. Let's see here. How much did it cost? Construction. How about $5 to $6 billion?
Oh, neither of us were close.
Holy moly, $5 to $6 billion. I mean, when I looked at it, I didn't feel like I was looking at a $5 to $6 billion stadium.
They also had to buy land in L.A. That might have been part of it.
Hollywood Park. They bought Hollywood Park.
Well.
That's what they did. That's where they put it. And that's where, in the end, the Clippers arena is as well. And they're doing more than just with the stadium. That's, I believe NFL Network's there. NFL.com is there. It's a complex. It's like a campus, what they have put there. So, capacity, 70,240, expandable up to 100,240 for major events. Wow. Construction, $5 to $6 billion estimated, including development. Well, I'm assuming you'd have to develop it, so yeah. Wow.
I'm guessing they don't open the 100,000 part for the Chargers games.
Oh, you're so cruel. You're cruel.
Maybe to fit more Steelers fans in when the Steelers go out.
Oh, you got that right. You got that right. Jeez. Wow. But I thought the NBA would be in Las Vegas now. Nope. I don't know. I don't get why. And look, I know who wants it. I mean, I know that, and I remember we were talking yesterday about LeBron being a part of the Fenway group, and they would be a candidate to get the expansion team in Las Vegas. So this is what Silver said. Las Vegas has been mentioned several times. The NBA has another year after this season on its $24 billion 9-year media rights deal. They don't want to do the new one until the new media rights deal is finalized. Okay? We want to figure out what our media relationships are going to look like, but then we will turn to expansion, he said. Seattle, of course, has been mentioned. Mexico City is on the radar. Why? Nashville, Vancouver, and Montreal are among other places that have been mentioned. Okay.
I wonder at the beginning it was still that fear of, you know, what would happen if you put a team in Las Vegas before the Golden Knights went. And also kind of a fear of the backlash if they went to Las Vegas before they went back to Seattle, which seems to have died down a bit since the Kraken are there.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean the Kraken have brought sports back in the wintertime there, and the Kraken are successful. Now, as for Mexico City, Silver told NBA.com, even though bringing a team there is probably not going to happen in the next wave of expansion, the city is on our radar. Now, one of the issues with playing there is also elevation.
That's higher than Denver.
Yes, 2,000 feet higher, as a matter of fact. So, I mean, we'll see. Penn State football waits. Okay? Interesting. You get to the new weights that are on the roster now. We'll talk about that in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back here in the Steve Jones Show from the Sunbury Motors Studios.
Yes, indeed.
Sponsored by Sunbury Motors.
So, let's get to some weights here. All right. And the guys at On3.com, Blue White Illustrated, did a great job at charting all this, so we'll give them credit for it. Keandre Lambert-Smith goes up 9 pounds from 185 to 194. Liam Clifford, 2 pounds. 201 to 203. Julian Fleming down 1, 210 to 209. Malik Mega, 203 to 205. Amari Evans goes down 4 from 189 to 185. Harrison Wallace up 2, 194 to 196. Caden Wallace, no change. He's still 175. Tyler Johnson went up 14 pounds, 183 to 197. Malik McClain went up 1206, 207. Anthony Ivey down to 180 to 178. Josiah Brown up 10, 165, 175. Carmelo Taylor down 8 from 169 to 161. Taylor is because of an allergy, can't eat red meat. So like his ability to weight is a struggle. Logan Cunningham down to 190 to 188. Ethan Black, who can fly like the wind, up 6, 165, 171. The tight ends, Khalil Dinkins up 2 from 244 to 246. Luke Reynolds, 220 to 228. Tyler Warren, 257 up to 259. Jerry Cross, 254 to 260. Finn Furmanek up 20 pounds from 218 to 238. The running backs. Nicholas Singleton is now from 222 to 226. Everybody kept saying last year, oh, he looks heavier, slow. He dropped weight last year. like people make statements. I just don't get sometimes. Like, okay, all right. Well, now he's up, 222 to 226. Catron Allen, 222 to 225. London Montgomery up 1, 185 to 186. Cam Wallace, 191 up to 198. Let's see. Bo Prabula, 203 to 205. Jackson Smolik, 197 to 205. Drew Aller, dropped down 1 from 242 to 241. Ethan Grunkmeyer is up 2 pounds, 200 to 202. Now for the linemen. Cooper Cousins, down 1, 320 to 319. Dom Rooley, up 7, 287, 294. Nick Dawkins, down 9, 315 down to 306. Chimney Ono, up 23 pounds from 300 to 323. But J.B. Nelson went down 7, 334 down to 327. Alex Birchmeyer up 1, 304 to 305. Drew Shelton, no change at 306. Anthony Donko up 5 from 323 to 328. Javon Williams, 304, just up 1 pound to 305. Venga Ioane dropped 6 from 348 to 342. Nolan Rucci up 5 from 300 to 305. Sal Wormley up 6, 324 to 330. And Addison Penn down 1304 to 303. Golden Israel at Chumba, no change at 332. So those are the offensive weights. Ooh, they gave us a list in the suits weight. I think we'll just leave that off. We'll just have people assume. We'll just. In fact, let's do a contest. Just kidding.
That's not a contest I want to be involved in.
Plus or minus 5. What number do you think?
I'm going to guess I'm plus, too. So I.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. So that's just, weights are weights. I am going to go and take a look at a winter workout next week because Penn State's home next week. So it's a little difficult when, you're on the road, home, back and forth, home, away, so forth. So both games are home next week for basketball. So I'm gonna get over there and take a look and take in one of them, see how it's going. Usually I have to get in one or two during the course of the season. And this will be it. So I'm going to take a look at the midway point, see how they're doing.